Welcome to Mother's Day of Victory. Those men love to turn those lights on and off, hoping we'll fall down is why they do that. Okay, everybody got a card. If you would take this card out very, very quickly and begin to fill out your information on that. Come on, India. At the beginning, at the end of the service, we're going to take these up. These are really, really important to us. So if you would, go ahead and begin filling it out through the service. And then on the back, you're going to give us some information at the very end, if you don't mind. Okay, to start off with this morning, we are going to have give away some gifts. That's the reason you were given a number when you walked in the door. Would you stand if I call out your number? Number 293, number 279, and number 303. If anybody has those numbers, would you stand? And keep standing until the ones with the gifts find. Yay, there's one, Carmen! Okay, I've got another one over here, and we should have one more. 293. Okay, yay! All righty. These gifts are on the subject that India's going to speak on this morning. And so those are for you to take home and enjoy. I want to introduce our first speaker to you. First of all, let me say this about the Mother's Day message. I did not pick the message. The name of the message is what my mama taught me. And I did not pick this message because that would look extremely prideful for my two children to get up here and talk about what I taught them. And so I told them when they told me the name, I said, that is really going to embarrass me. But they wouldn't let, I couldn't argue them down. So y'all just understand this is going to be really embarrassing for me. The name of the message is what my mama taught me. And I'm going to get to talk about my mama in a minute. Della's going to get, but two of the speakers are going to talk about me. And so don't believe a word they say, okay? All right, our first speaker is India Willis. She is my oldest daughter. She has a college degree in elementary education, and she has a double major, early childhood development. She is a minister at Victory Christian School as one of our spiritual counselors. She is the head of the children's department here at the Victory Church, and you can see that was a big department when you saw, and the babies didn't even come through. So she oversees hundreds of children here, and but her greatest of all her achievements to me is her three children. She has three very godly children. Now, the youngest one can throw fits on a regular basis. We saw one yesterday. But she just hadn't been alive long enough to get enough spanking to get rid of them. But she will, because her other two children are perfect. Y'all want to stand up and take a bow? I love them. They are. And our greatest accomplishment as a woman is our children. So.
All right, so I'm going to tell you the truth. Will you follow me around and introduce me to everyone I meet? Because, you know, nobody can brag on you like your mama. And I know all of you can brag on your children just as well, but I'll tell you what I really do. I'm 45, and I play with kids all day long, and it's the best job ever. I teach first and second grade, and I work with the kids here at the church, and it is just a joy. I always tell people, the secret of youth is to work with kids because they will keep you young. They don't give you time to slow down. So now we're going to pass around a clipboard to get children's volunteers for those of you who want the fountain of youth. But when they came to me and asked me, always my first initial response is no, because this is not my comfort zone at all. I'm way more comfortable with a group of kids than a group of adults, but how can you tell your mama no? I mean, they've done so much for you. So, of course, it's just an honor to talk about my mom. So they told me we're speaking on, you know, what my mama taught me or what my mama said to me, but, you know, as a mother, and as watching my mother, it's way more in what they do than what they say. Your children learn from what you do way more than from what you say. And so today I want to talk about choices that mothers make and the best choice that a mother can make. You know, in our society today, even more than any time, women and mothers have so many choices of where to put their time and their priority. We have housework, career ladder, laundry, play dates, sports events, dance, cheerleading, grocery shopping, meal preparing, friends, bills, homework, Sometimes we get to watch our favorite TV when the cartoons can get changed. We have pets, yard work, doctor's appointments. We volunteer at schools, and we have try to have hobbies. And, you know, so much of this world is just screaming for our time. And this society today, Mom was telling me this morning about how that used to be finances was one of the main causes of divorce, and now it's stress in a family. And, you know, that's because this world is just screaming so much for your time, mothers. And you're trying to do it all. You're just trying to do everything. Make everybody happy, please everybody. But, you know, Jesus talked to us about that. That's what's so good about Jesus. He always gives us the answers to whatever life throws us. And so I want to talk to you just a minute about the best choice. And this is what I saw through my mom her whole life. Still today I see this. It's been one of the greatest lessons I've learned from my mom, is how to choose what is best. And so I'm going to start in the reference of Luke 10:38-42. It's the story of Mary and Martha. And Jesus was coming to their home to eat. And he was bringing lots of people. Doesn't that sound fun, moms? Somebody come to your house, bring lots of people to eat. And so he was coming. And Martha got busy with what women do, taking care of all the stuff. And but I'm going to skip to verse 42 because I want to look at Mary. It says, and I'm reading in the NIV here first, but it says, "But only one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Another version says that Mary chose the good part. Another version says that Mary chose the one thing worth being concerned about. And the Message says she chose what was essential, the main course. So Jesus here was telling Martha that Mary chose the better, the good, the thing being concerned over, and the essential thing. You know, and that's what as moms we want to do. We want to choose those things that put in our children the values that lead them in the ways of the Lord. That's what we want to show them with our actions. And so what did Mary do? What was this awesome choice that Mary made that was so good that Jesus was just bragging to Martha about? Well, we find the answer to that in Luke 10:39. It says, "She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said." Another version says, "She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words." Another version says, "She took her seat at the Lord's feet and gave attention to his words." And the Message says, "She sat before the Master, hanging on to every word he said." So the choice that Mary made, and you know, used to, because I'm going to just be honest, I'm a Martha by nature. I am a take care of it person. I'm a first child, oldest of six, and I'm going to get it done. That's just my personality. But, you know, if you read about Martha, it left her very frustrated, empty, complaining, accusing. And when we moms go in our own strength to attack all these things that we need to do in a day, we will every time end up bottomed out, exhausted, empty, have nothing to give. But, you know, as I was studying this, you know, Mary, the other sister, you know, it didn't seem like she was pitching in, doing her part. You know, you ever feel like somebody wasn't pitching in and doing their part? But, you know, I was telling Mom this morning, the Lord just, you know what Jesus does is he just gives us the kingdom perspective. And Mary had the kingdom perspective. Because what now I see Mary as brave. She was brave because she chose to go against what her family wanted her to do. She was brave because society at that time said women should take care of all the meals and then the babies and all the domestic responsibilities. And so that's where she should have been in the eyes of everyone in that house. But she felt a deeper calling. She heard what Jesus was saying. She knew that he was going to be her strength, her joy. His words were bringing life to her, and that's what she needed, you know. And so I see now Mary as brave. She was the one who realized, moms, what she needed most. And, you know, that's what I saw my mom do my whole life. She has a family of six kids, and she co-pastored an active, growing church my whole life. She had many people telling her what she needed to do, and many voices calling on her for her time. But my mom always put her relationship with Jesus first. I always saw that growing up. She rocked babies and prayed. She used to tell us that when she, four of us are a year apart, a year and a couple months apart. So she'd get us down for a nap and she'd study the, there was probably a huge mountain sink of dishes that was saying, wash me, you know, but she got in God's word. I remember traveling all the time and she had a Bible, a little Bible that fit in her purse. And any time that she wasn't doing something else, she had that Bible out, studying it, reading it. Note cards. I remember finding note cards around the house with scriptures on them. I've even seen her write them on her hand on a busy day. She's spent quiet time, and we all knew growing up that her relationship with Jesus was her most important life source. It's what she needed to mother us, to guide us, to. And so daily she grew in her relationship with Jesus. And I'm going to just finish up with this story super fast. So when I was a sophomore in college, I went caving with six other people. And like really smart college students do, we took two flashlights and we didn't check the batteries. There was a whole caving system under the town of Springfield, Missouri. Whole caving system. I knew nothing about it. I was going with who I thought was the experts. We left at 2, went out way out in the country, went into this caving system. And for those of you who've ever been in caves, it's like tunnels and ravines, and it was dangerous. But we had light for a while. About an hour and a half into our expedition, the first light went out. So we started heading back. And then about 30 minutes after that, the second light went out. So the next morning at between 9 and 10, cave rescuers found us in the cave. And I remember we got back to the dorm, and my mom and the administrator met us there, and he said, we've called all your parents. Can you imagine getting the call that your daughter has been gone overnight? She went into a huge caving system, and we haven't been able to. So the administrator said, one of your moms said, I know she's okay because the Holy Spirit would have told me. I knew who that was. That came from her relationship with Jesus every day. Thank you, Mom.
Oh, this is worse than I thought it was going to be. Thank you for those kind words, India. This looks so bad for me. Look like I orchestrated this, but I did not. I had nothing to do with it. All right, three more gifts to give out. Number 282. Stan, have you got that? 181. Thank you, India, for those kind words. Nobody could have ever had a first daughter than you. And number 110. Do we have three white ladies standing? Ah, Charlotte! Usually the workers don't get gifts. Do we got three standing? Okay. This book is about what Miss Della's fixing to come and speak on. If you'll come ahead, Miss Della. This is Mrs. Della Willis, for those of you that do not know. Stephen that got up here and was running around a while ago, this is Stephen's mother. And she has been a pastor and a teacher for 50-plus years. I won't tell you what the plus is. But she works in the spiritual minister's office at the school and leads our kids all day long. She is an accomplished pianist and praise leader and has done it in every church that she has been in. But her most and greatest accomplishment in life is that she has two children in full-time ministry. She only has two children, and both of them obeyed the call of God, and they both are pastors. And thank God, one of them is my son-in-law. So, and Della and I have been friends longer than we won't admit. I learned a lot from her.
So today I'm a Abel's and a Willis, okay? As India was giving out what a mother was, I found this card a week or so ago in all my cards that my husband and kids had given me several years ago, and it said, what is a mother? She's a pie baker, a bed maker, a sock binder, a clock winder, a nickel lender, a clothes mender, a grocery shopper, an argument stopper, which Elaine said she still does that, organizer, economizer, house duster, the adjuster, laundry doer, health renewer. I thought that was cute. So I thought this morning, I thought, where is that card? And I went right to it. So after India gave those things, I thought that would be a great card. Well, I think it would have been better for me, easier to have made the banana pudding. Because maybe it wouldn't take quite as much of the Holy Spirit, relying on the Holy Spirit to be able to make a banana pudding. But anyway, I'd just like to say that I'm from a family of 12. There were 12 children in my family, and I'm third from the bottom. So, and I have a brother that comes here, Bill, that was number 10. When William and I married, he said, I want us to have 3 children. And I said, 1. I come from a house of 11 others, so I said, 1. So we had Stephanie, and she weighed 9, 6 and a half. And he kept saying 3, and I said 2. So we had Stephen, and Stephen came in at 10 pounds. So, before I was almost out of the delivery room, I was telling William, this is it, you know. If we have any more, you're going to have them. So, you see, we ended up with 2. Praise God. And I am so thankful for my kids. I have 2 beautiful children, and they have made beautiful families. And we're really proud of the way they serve the Lord. But, you know, it doesn't matter if you're coming from if you're a mom of 12 or 6 or 1. It's an awesome responsibility. You've heard the expression that, it's easier to be president of the United States than it would be a mom. So the responsibility is just awesome. And I think probably one of the greatest things that I learned from my mom, admired most in her life, and hopefully some of that trait has been carried out in my life, is that she had what I considered quiet strength. My mother was not a real vocal mom. She was quiet. You know, Isaiah 30:15 says, in quietness and trusting confidence shall be your strength. And that was my mom. That was my mom. When I was thinking, when Elaine asked me to speak, I immediately thought of TLC. Tender loving care. But I just, the Lord just gave me a different slant on that. So I want to say the T stands for teach. The mother is a teacher. And probably the greatest example of this, and I'm not going to turn there and read all this, but it's Deuteronomy 6:6-9. You read that when you get home, Mom. Because here it tells a lot about what you're supposed to do as a mom. How many of you, your kids grew up, were born saints? Not a one. They have to be taught, right? They come in selfish and self-willed, but they have to be taught. And probably the greatest thing we can teach them is the Word. But you know, Deuteronomy 6:6 says that there is absolutely no way you can teach that word to them unless it's fixed in your heart. It has to be fixed in your heart. And then as you fix that in your heart, verse 7 says you do it diligently. I like one of the versions said drill them into it. You know, the Amplified says you whet and sharpen it so it will penetrate their soul. That's the kind of teacher you need to be. and you talk to them when you're sitting at home or when you're on the road, when you're working and when you're resting, a constant thing. Bind them as a sign on your hand and as a symbol on your forehead. And then it says on the doorpost of your house, and I thought of this when Brother Jerry's talking about this blood thing, you know. I was thinking the refrigerator's probably our doorpost, right? But whatever you have to do to put that word before them from the time they're small until they're grown. And the second one is live what you teach. I always said when my kids were small, I always said, I want my kids to not just hear about God, but I want them to see God. And I believe many, many times in our, as I was a mother to my children at home, and I still am a mom, I still am a mom, but we saw God so many times working in our lives. And the third thing is commit. 1 Samuel 1:27-28, probably one of the sweetest stories in the Bible, is Hannah going to the temple praying for a son. And then she, in verse 27-28, she said, the Lord has granted my petition. And so she said, I have given him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is given to the Lord. You never get too old to be a mom. I'm sorry, son. But, you know, I think one of the greatest things that I can say is that God's word never returns void. And many times, and I still do it, I have my little book, part of, actually some of the prayers are right here in this book that I've written down praying over my kids. There's one to Stephanie, and here's one to Stephen and family, and then my grandchildren. I still pray that word over them. I just hold that word high, and I just know it's because of the word of God that they have developed in time to the children and the families and the parents and the grandkids. I have 4 grandkids here today. I have a nephew, praise God. I have a brother, a son. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, number 261, would you stand? Thank you, Della. It's wonderful. Number 137 and number 153. Okay. All right, we have some gifts that go along with Miss Crystal. Our next speaker is Crystal Fail, and she is also my daughter. She is the pastor here of our Freedom Ministry. She is also a spiritual counselor at Victory Christian School. She teaches at Victory Christian School, but of course her most important of all accomplishment is she has 4. Two of her teenagers are very godly. Her 2 little bitty ones are getting there. And they are wonderful children, and I'm so proud of Crystal and her wonderful children.
Now it's turned. This is the obedience of a children. Here's what Proverbs 31 says. It says, her children will rise up and call her blessed. And that's what today is. We'll be obedient to what God's word has told us to do, because I'm going to tell you, we were so blessed to have a mom like we have. So I'm going to ask her just to stand up just for a second. Can I do that? Are you okay with that? And she hates it, and I love it. Because I have been up here many times with them in the focus of that. I've had the privilege of being raised by this woman right here. And I'm going to tell you, there is a lot of things that she is not. She is not always sweet. I'll tell you, that's absolutely the truth. I would tell her all the time, wait for him to get home. Please wait for him to get home. She is not always right. And I'm telling you, I've been so amazed. Ah, you! Because me and her came head to head in a lot of places in our life, and she said, you know what? The truth will always win out. God will always, always make the truth be revealed. And it's usually me wrong. She has never, ever, ever been a woman, though she is the most beautiful woman I know, that has pursued beauty. And I have never, ever, ever seen somebody fear God like this woman right here. So I appreciate Mom so much. But more than anything, what I appreciate is the woman of God that you've been and is an example to me. So thank you very much. We as women, we get a choice what we pursue. That's our right. But I'm going to tell you, it's so important that we take that right and we use it wisely. I've had a mom that all of my life has always pursued God in every area, even above us. Because we can make goals on what we're going to run after throughout our entire life. But I'm going to tell you the truth, God is the only thing. God is the only thing that if we choose to put all of our time into, that will bring us through and be able to be passed through us to our children, which is what they'll need for life. Because we'll never be able to do it. Now, what I love about a fear of God is not perfection. A fear of God is not perfection. What a fear of God says, I'm going to get in alignment with what God is saying, and what God is saying is going to change me for the rest of my life. A woman who fears God, the Bible says, will be praised. And if you decide to be a woman who focuses on fearing God, what you've decided to do is to be a woman who focuses on Him. I saw a lot of women in my life run after a lot of different things growing up. I used to say, Mom, why won't you be a part of that group? Mom, why won't you go do that? Mom, Tybo looks fun. Do you see it? There was a lot of women that ran after a whole lot of things. But I'm going to tell you where I always found my mom. I found my mom every day worshiping Him. I found my mom in every morning and in every evening knowing more about Him than I will ever, ever be able to understand or grasp. I found a mom in my life who always knew that she could be in perfect submission because she could fear God and trust Him with everything that she ever was going to walk through. She's walked through more battles than I've ever seen, but you know what? She's never not won one because she's walked in through it with God by her side. So this morning, I think the greatest thing my mother has ever, ever taught me is to keep my eyes on Him. To worship Him, to fall in love with Him, to make Him be the number one thing that we could ever imagine. I'm going to tell you, your kids will never do it for you, but He will. He will. He is enough. The Bible says a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. The way she's able to move into that place is because she knows who her King is. She knows that when she fears the Lord, that she is spending time and doing things unnatural, but doing them supernatural. And I'm going to tell you the truth, that it's a choice to bypass everything this world has to offer and to say, I'm going to be a woman who fears and pursues God more than anything else. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. That means it's useless to you. But a woman who fears the Lord will move into a place of praising God to where it covers you and it flows all over you and it will never change. I'm going to tell you the truth. Why do women pursue other things? Because they don't know how great their King is. They don't know how good their God is. They don't know how wonderful He is to you. And they don't know how great He can walk you through and your children everything you walk through. So I'm going to ask you this morning, do you know your King? My mom did. Do you know your King?
The Bible says, my King is the King of the Jews. He's the King of Israel. He's the King of righteousness. He's the King of the ages. He's the King of heaven. He's the King of glory. He's the King of kings. And He's the Lord of lords. That's my King. I wonder, do you know Him? My King is a sovereign King. No means of measure can define His limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know Him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's Son. He's a sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know Him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and He saves. He strengthens and sustains. pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is lighter. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You see, you can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him.
King. If you know him, raise your hand and love him. Jesus, thank you that you're our King. Thank you. If you're here this morning and you're a mother, and any one of these three awesome messages spoke to your heart this morning, if you need to spend more time with Jesus, you're not sitting at his feet. You're busy like Martha, running around, doing things you shouldn't be doing all day long and leaving him alone. If you're not teaching your children the Word and you are not living it in front of them like you should, and you are not committed to their spiritual growth more than anything else in their life, or if you have not taught them about the King of all Kings, he's the answer to everything. They don't need anything else in life if we've got Jesus. If you're here this morning and you need to stand, me to make a commitment in any of these areas, I want you to stand and say, Jesus, forgive me. I'm not doing these areas in my life as I should be. If you want to ask the Lord, just stand. If you're a mother here and you just, and a father too, if you're not doing it as a father, if you'll just stand. We're going to keep the lights down because this is between you and God. And see, the Bible says before you can have faith or do anything, you must repent. Repentance comes first. Repent means, God, I'm sorry. I'm not doing it right the way your word said doing it. Lord, I ask you to forgive me. And the minute you say that prayer, the blood of Jesus is going to wash over you, forgive every single thing that has happened in the past. And then you look up to Jesus and you say, and Jesus, help me. Help me to teach my children that you are the most important thing in this life. Money is not important. Friends are not important. Position is not important. Marriage is not even important when it comes to Jesus. Jesus is what's important. And from this day forward, I'm going to give you my life in a way I've never given it to you before. And I'm going to teach my children that you are the most important thing in the world. And that you is what's going to make their life work, Jesus. Help me as a mother or a father, if you're staying, to teach my children that the only way they're ever going to be happy is if you're their King, Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for all of these that are standing. And I believe with all my heart that this commitment they made is going to change their lives starting today. That in the morning when they get up, they're going to have one goal, and that's to know you and to live you in front of their children every day of their life. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.